You're listening to Bit by Bit, March 25th, 2006. Hello and welcome. My name is Bob Sprankle and this is Bit by Bit, a podcast by teachers for teachers talking and reflecting about the use of technology in education and the changing classroom environment in the 21st century. This show is the first part of an excellent workshop day that my district, Wells Algonquin Community School District in Wells, Maine, had yesterday on March 24th. We came together to hear an excellent talk by Kevin Perks from Noble High School in North Berwick, Maine, about informational text and literacy. Kevin gave us permission to podcast, so I'll be putting that show up today as well, and it's an excellent wake-up call about the kind of literacy instruction that has to happen K-12, emphasizing that students need more exposure to and explicit teaching in reading nonfiction text. Well, the workshop started with a great opening talk by our district superintendent, Mr. Ed McDonough, and that's what this first show will be, is his talk to us. As you'll hear, Mr. McDonough makes a strong connection between the need for improved literacy instruction and the changes in the 21st century by bringing in the work of Thomas Friedman and Will Daggett, to name a few. I feel very fortunate to be part of a district that has a superintendent talking about these dramatic shifts in the world and what it means to education and how we need to evolve in order to prepare our children for their future. So I really appreciate the talk by Ed McDonough and thank him for letting us put this out as a podcast, and I think you'll definitely enjoy this. And Mr. McDonough will be providing the PowerPoint slideshow that he used. He'll be sending that to me, and I'll post that up on the blog as well to accompany this podcast. So, without further ado, Mr. Ed McDonough from Wells Algonquin Community School District in Wells, Maine.
Well, good morning. I had been asked by the Professional Development Committee to speak briefly, and this is when you break into applause, on literacy and informational text. My comments that I want to share with you are borrowed liberally, I think, from Tom Friedman, from Lynn Miller at the University of Southern Maine, from Will Daggett, and Angus King. Some of you may have heard Angus King, who's going around the state talking a little bit about Tom Friedman's book and some of his take on that. What I hope you come away with this morning ultimately is some awareness about the need to increase the presence of informational text in our classrooms, and that is K-12, as well as some strategies that may help children kind of engage in increasingly complex text. But I want to start with a quiz. Name this country. It's the richest country in the world, has the largest military, it's the center of world business. Whoops, I hit a button. Strongest educational system, the world center of innovation and invention. Its currency is the world standard of value, and it has the highest standard of living. So turn and talk for a moment. Now you don't need a moment. The answer is England in 1900. Right? And what this illustrates, I think, is just 106 years ago, England was the richest and most vibrant country in the world. And it serves as an illustration that this country is not guaranteed to remain number one and be successful and be the eminent power in the world unless we heed some of the lessons that are found in Friedman's text. Now, if you're like me, a baby boomer, change doesn't come easy. Sometimes change is totally not accepted. This is my playlist in 1970, and I suspect it'll be my playlist in 2010. I don't deal well with change, and I suspect many of you don't as well. But quite honestly, I was struck when I read Friedman's book, and he talks about the 10 flatteners that have changed the world in the last 10 to 15 years on informing. Informing is one of the 10 flatteners. And he talks about that never before in the history of the planet have so many people on their own have the ability to find out so much information about so many things and about so many people. And it's unprecedented. And I know you've heard, we're in an information age. So let me give you yet another quiz, but we'll do it Jeopardy style. We'll do it backwards. Here are the answers. 100, 150 million in 2001, 1 billion in 2004, and 8 billion. I'll give you a hint. Think Google. The answers are that you can Google in 100 languages today. That in 2001, there were 150 million individual searches a day. In 2004, it's 1 billion. Governor King suggested somewhere in the order of 1.5 billion today. And that 8 billion are the number of pages of documents that are conducted on a Google search. That's the number of pages they go through in the search process. So, while change may be the only constant in our lives, and some of us are old enough to realize that and just ride it out, the pace at which change is occurring is what is phenomenal. We all know the printing press changed our world. I think we do. I learned that a while back, and monks didn't have to copy things. Well, whatever. All right. Changed our world, but it's the pace at which change is occurring now that's kind of frightening. So here are a few more answers. 48 terabits per second in 3 minutes. A terabit. Does anybody know what a terabit is? It's a million bits. And one of those strands on the fiber optic cable can carry a million bits of information. And so when they put 24 of them together, that's what moves data. And what Friedman talks about being one of the flatteners in the world, where anything that can be digital can be transferred quickly over the cables that lie in the ocean, et cetera, and why India is being so successful today. 3 minutes is assuming you have 48 terabits, you can download every piece of printed matter in the world that exists in 3 minutes. We're in an information age. There's no question about that. 1850, 90%, 2005, 3.5%. In 1850, that's the percentage of people who were engaged in farming in this country. And 150 years later, only 3.5% of our population is engaged in farming. This country has undergone tremendous change in 150 years. But they've done it through successive generations. Now the change, if Friedman is to be believed, and I think he's true, he's right, it's going to happen within a generation. Each generation is going to undergo significant change. And so one of the questions he poses, and I think it's a question we should all consider, is how will we remain competitive in the world? And while he talks about informing, there's much concern and consternation about outsourcing, losing jobs to outsourcing. And in the 1970s, we could rely on a significant percentage of our population being low-skilled. And in the 90s, we still require some, but semi-skilled labor is where the bulk of our jobs exist. And to be competitive, when you're trying to compete against 3.5, you know, you talk about China and the billion people coming, and the significant population in India, where we cannot possibly keep our standard of living and compete with low-skilled wages in this country, our people have to become high-skilled. And so that's the challenge. And so when we think about this, is what do we know about our Maine students? And in Maine, we know that 80% of eighth graders say they want to go on to college, that 75 to 85% of students who enter a Maine high school graduate. Less than 50% of them who matriculate at one of Maine's public universities will graduate in 6 years. That's a 6-year graduation rate. And that out of all of Maine's graduating seniors in 2005, only 60 to 70% took the SAT. That's going to change in April, I suspect. That 51% attended a 2- or 4-year college. And that this is true nationwide, not just in Maine. Only 30% will earn a bachelor's degree. So one of the things we know, and I ask you to think about, is that a high school diploma does not mean readiness, nor does college admission mean readiness. 50% nationwide of kids who enter college must take remedial courses. That's in the nation. 50% of students accepted into a four-year university have to take a remedial course. That's not for credit, but they pay for it. It doesn't go towards their degree. It's because they lack the skills. They got admitted, however. And you can look at the six-year graduation rate. Of course, when schools, high schools are measured against a dropout rate, it's a four-year cohort that's going to be changed to a five-year cohort. These are six-year graduation rates for our public universities and for our privates here in the state. Some of you know that Maine has revisited its learning results. And in order to make it more manageable in English, for those of you who have taken the time to look at it, they've reduced the content standards from 8 to 6. And not surprisingly, they've added media and critical thinking. And they describe it as the ability to use and understand information through ever-changing media. And the other thing they have done is they've looked at Lexiles and talk about comprehension with increasing the difficulty across grade span. And our challenge is to get our students to engage in increasingly more complex text with syntactic and semantic maturity as they move and progress along the way. And we know where our kids and our students' skill level lies. But, you know, here's just some classic text, some informational text, and the Lexiles associated with it. Will Daggett, and the state is heavily influenced by Will Daggett. I know the commissioner has remarked about him constantly, and you can get on and look at his website. Google him. He'll come up in less than a second. Says this: once a student leaves high school, 90% of his or her reading will be informational text. Only 10% will be for pleasure, I think, inferring fiction, novels, short stories, etc. And that's the reality. As an old English teacher, I wish it weren't so. I mean, I used to struggle with the notion when ETS came out in 1985 and said only 1 in 100,000 students is going to write a paper on a literary text. I gave it to them all nonetheless. But that's the world we're in. So Lexiles at home and at work. You can see what the Lexile ranges are for most of the nation's newspapers. You can see what the Lexile is for most of what we will deal with in our daily lives, be it a discount form, tax information, etc. And then you can see at the workplace that the federal government identifies 16 clusters and says that the entry-level reading skill in 13 of those 16 are in the two highest levels. And so at the end of the day, we have our students in the 11th and 12th grade in the state of Maine reading in a range of 950 to about 1200. So there you see the average on that graph. I'm not very good with this media stuff. High school texts are written at a higher level, and we know there's a stretch there, and I don't think there's a high school teacher here who couldn't tell us many of our students struggle with their text. Newspapers, and then what's required in the workplace. And so what I hope you'll learn from Kevin today, and Kevin's been wonderful, we've done a lot of planning with the committee and met a couple of times, is that we have to present opportunities for them to struggle. It's a good thing to struggle. Struggle's a wonderful thing, and in getting them to take on challenging informational text. I know there was some concern about K2, and really, you know, the appropriateness of being here and listening to this. But I'm struck by, as you go through that process in acquiring a new reader, you know, in grades K-5, that 40% of what young children will read will be informational text, and it'll shift at the end of the series to 60-40 informational text literature. And then, of course, across disciplines, there's much opportunity to have our students engage and analyze and struggle to try to make meaning out of text. So, I hope you have a good day. Have a nice weekend. Cindy, I'm not answering any questions. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Again, I'll get the slideshow up on the website soon, and I'd like to thank Ed McDonough again for his great talk and letting us publish it here. Be sure to check out the second part of our Professional Development Day podcast number 26 with Kevin Perks, who led us to the next step, examining what we need to be doing with informational literacy in this 21st century. For Bit by Bit, my name is Bob Sprankle. Thanks for listening.